Tonight, a highly anticipated courtroom showdown. Prosecutor star witness Michael Cohen, former President Trump's self-described fixer turned fierce critic, telling the jury Mr. Trump directed him to pay off an adult film actress days before the 2016 election to protect his campaign.
Michael Cohen, a liar?
Everything required Mr. Trump's sign-off, Cohen told the jury, testifying Mr. Trump was furious in 2016 when he learned Stormy Daniels was still trying to sell her story of sex with the former president, telling Cohen, "I thought you had this under control." Cohen explaining he'd managed to suppress Daniels' story years before, but it resurfaced on the heels of the Access Hollywood tape. And Cohen feared if Daniels went public, it would be, quote, catastrophic for the campaign, saying Mr. Trump told him, just take care of it. This is a disaster. Women are going to hate me. Guys may think this is cool, but this is going to be a disaster for the campaign. Cohen said Mr. Trump told him he met Daniels at a golf tournament, describing her as a beautiful woman. Mr. Trump has denied he had sex with Daniels and pleaded not guilty to charges of illegally disguising his reimbursement checks to Cohen as legal expenses on his internal books and records. The defense team arguing there was no crime, that Cohen was his personal attorney at the time, handling a personal matter to avoid his family embarrassment. Former Trump aide Hope Hicks previously testifying Mr. Trump did not want newspapers with details of a hush money payment to a different woman delivered to their home. But Cohen suggesting today that Mr. Trump wasn't concerned about Melania's reaction. He wasn't thinking about Melania. This was all about the campaign. Cohen adding Mr. Trump told him, "I want you to just push it out as long as you can. Just get past the election, because if I win, it will have no relevance. And if I lose, I don't even care."
Sandy Rios with you. You know, in all of my years of doing radio, live radio, and whether it's the afternoon drive time or whatever I've done, I have never gravitated to these salacious stories. I've just always avoided them. I never even discussed O.J. Simpson, except when the verdict came in, because I felt it was just silly. It wasn't real news. The reason I'm covering this today and talking about this trial in New York is because, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious to all of us. It's serious for the implications to our justice system. It's serious for what we see could happen if this could happen to a presidential candidate and former president. What do you think could happen to you? What do you think could happen to you if truth doesn't matter anymore, if judges are allowed to lash out to silence you so that you can't even defend yourself? I remember once when I was a kid, first grade, I'll never forget this. I was sitting across this big table from a boy that was a friend of mine. We were just little, you know, friends like that, playing together. And he, a teacher, accused me of doing something that I didn't do. And as I tried to defend myself, the teacher that accused me came and put her hands over my mouth. And as I tried to, as I tried to defend myself, I couldn't because her big adult hand was covering my little face. I'll never forget that. And that's what Mershon is doing to President Trump. And that's what he's refusing to do to the other witnesses. We'll discuss that today with our expert, Mike Davis, from the Article 3 Project. Mike is an expert following all of this. He's been our guest many times. He's on television all over trying to cover this. This is important also because we are in crisis in our country. Does anyone listening to me disagree with that? Our president is out of control. They are withdrawing support from Israel, calling for the resignation of Bibi Netanyahu, telling the Israelis not to fight in Gaza. And those of us that are Christians know that this is a huge red flag, because as believers in Christ, we know that we must support the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. And so we have that. And then we have the borders that are wide open. We have the lawlessness. We have the plans that are being made to come after normal citizens for your taxes, your investments. We have the sign off on social media to learn everything about you and use it against you and silence you again on that media. We have banks turning over our personal records to this administration to punish us. We have the Justice Department going illegally going after people who have committed no crime but actively trying to apprehend and find a crime. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in danger. There is an election coming up. The polls are close. We don't know what God's going to do. I don't know. I wake up every morning and I thank God we're still free. Because honestly, I'm not sure how much longer we will be. And this trial matters because the man that's on trial, as imperfect as he is, imagine that, an imperfect man. Me, the imperfect talk show host, is going to say he's an imperfect man, but he is a man who loves his country and will fight. And that's why this trial matters so much. He's being targeted for destruction. So stay tuned because we're going to be talking about that in a second. Well, you know this is Sandy Rios 24/7, and you know how it works. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. You can listen on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base. You go to the podcast section, and there we are. You can also listen on Spotify and Amazon and all of those. You can also go to sandyrios.com. That's my website, and you can find the show. It's pretty easy to listen from there. One of the reasons we can bring this information to you is the wonderful support of Preborn. And, of course, it's my delight to be able to talk to you about what they're doing. There was a girl named Alyssa, and she wanted to confirm her pregnancy, so she went in for an ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic while her boyfriend Damien waited outside. They were planning a trip to Louisiana for an out-of-state abortion when they found the clinic, which was just across the street from Alyssa's college in Houston. Miraculously, they noticed the building for the very first time. Alyssa was astonished and deeply moved when the ultrasound revealed beautiful, identical twins. She called Damien, "Come inside, now!" Although he was reluctant, Damien eventually confronted the truth he just couldn't deny. Faced with his baby's lives right in front of him, he wept. Alyssa, Damien, and the ultrasound technician watched in amazement as the twins interacted with each other, already closely bonded. Despite being early in her pregnancy, Alyssa's little babies were full of personality and sucking each other's toes. The two strong parents were so moved by this powerful encounter that they decided to cancel their trip to Louisiana. Okay, you see what Preborn does? Do you see why I love their ministry? Do you see why I ask you to help them? Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, today we're going to discuss what's happening in New York City to President Trump, to this trial, on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
But you said on Fox News 2 weeks ago that the court's an illegal, clearly there is an illegal, unconstitutional gag order here. Why do you think that's true? I mean, do you think any defendant should be able to speak out about the judge?
Yeah, in the United States of America, we have something called the Constitution, and we have the First Amendment and the Sixth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. And if there's anyone on the planet who should have the constitutional right to speak out against the judge, the prosecutor, their staffs, the witnesses, their biases, the process, it is a criminal defendant going through the criminal process. You don't gag criminal defendants in America. I don't know what you guys do in the United Kingdom, but in America, we have constitutional rights, and they've turned the Constitution on its head by gagging a criminal defendant while this judge, whose adult daughter, Lauren Michon, is raising millions of dollars off of this case, requiring her recusal under New York statute, is allowing Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. Stormy Daniels, a porn star who's raising money off this trial on her pen Twitter profile, on her pen tweet on Twitter, on X. And you have Michael Cohen, who's a disbarred attorney and a convicted perjurer raising money on TikTok, and now you just had this bimbo porn star say that President
Trump I think calling a bimbo porn star is pretty offensive.
All right, so that was a clip from the BBC interviewing our next guest, Mike Davis, who has been out day and night relentlessly trying to help people understand what's happening in that courtroom in New York City with Donald Trump and Mike Cohen and Stormy Daniels and Judge Mercheron and all of the rest of the actors. And Mike is the founder of the and president of Article 3 Project. It's called A3P. You've heard him with me before, and of course you've heard him in a lot of other places too, because he truly is, you know, spending himself on this defense, not officially, but unofficially. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Sandy.
So had you been on the BBC before?
I have not been on the BBC before, and after that interview, I imagine I'll never be on the BBC again.
You know, when I was in D.C. as president of Concerned Women for America, I did a lot of, I was doing a lot of media then, and I was on with BBC, and they did the same thing to me. They are ruthless. I mean, we just played a tiny bit of that, but you did. I loved what you did. You gave her so much information, and she could not stop you. And so I love that, Mike. So congratulations to you. I think you did a great job on that. All right, so Michael Cohen is on the stand for the second day. Now, we're in real time now with you and I talking. That's what's happening. People will hear this later. But there is a headline from the Washington Examiner this morning reporting, Michael Cohen provides strongest boost to Bragg's case so far. Do you agree with that? Is this the best day yet? Is he really nailing it?
What a joke. I mean, Alvin Bragg doesn't have a case against President Trump because it is not illegal for a businessman to settle a nuisance claim, and it is certainly not a bookkeeping misdemeanor to put that settlement of a nuisance claim in your private books as a legal expense. I've been a lawyer for nearly 20 years. I've settled many nuisance claims with non-disclosure agreements, hush money as you would call it, for business people who just want these silly claims to go away. I don't know how else you would book it in your books other than a legal expense. And then they booked this expense in 2017, but somehow that booking of the expense in 2017 was a campaign finance violation because it somehow affected the election in 2016. This is such a stupid legal theory that the prior Manhattan DA, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself, the Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg himself, who campaigned on getting Trump, didn't bring this case. It wasn't until Matthew Colangelo got deployed from the Biden Justice Department, a senior political appointee, the number three in the Biden Justice Department, to resurrect this zombie case. And we are in, what, week four of this unprecedented trial of a former president who happens to be the leading presidential candidate there before this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Mercheron, whose adult daughter is raising millions of dollars off of this case, requiring Judge Mercheron's recusal under New York statute. That's not just crazy Mike Davis saying that. A former federal Clinton judge from New York went on Caitlin Collins' show on April 5th on CNN and said that Judge Mercheron has to recuse because Lauren Mercheron, his daughter, is a Democrat fundraiser who's raising money off of that trial, creating a clear conflict of interest. How does Judge Mercheron respond? He puts an illegal, unconstitutional gag order on Trump. So Trump can't mention Lauren Mercheron. Trump can't mention Matthew Colangelo. Trump can't mention Stormy Daniels, this porn star who's changed her story several times and is peddling her porn site on Twitter. Trump can't mention Michael Cohen, this barred attorney, this serial perjurer, this convicted felon who's changed his story several times, who's peddling his book, who is selling his diatribes against Trump on TikTok, who has an axe to grind because he's mad Trump didn't bring him into the Trump White House when Trump won. I mean, Trump can't say any of this or he goes to prison under this unconstitutional gag order. This is a circus in New York City. Unfortunately, the American people are waking up to this, and Democrats are in panic.
Well, Michael Cohen, I wish I had a clip of it, but he is on TikTok saying a lot of things, laughing, wearing costumes, One of the costumes that he has been wearing is a T-shirt with President Trump shown behind bars on his T-shirt. I think he's actually selling those. I'm not sure. But he comes to court in his suit, very sophisticated. But on that mic, he really reveals, I think, his character more than maybe his lies. Now, here's the thing. You talk about a gag order. So President Trump can't say anything. He's been fined, you know, thousands of dollars a day if he speaks about anything regarding the trial. And the last threat that I heard was Mershon was going to send him to prison or to jail, whichever, for saying anything publicly. Yet, Michael Cohen is saying that Trump needs to be in prison. He's saying all of these things. And that was brought to the judge's attention. And what was Judge Mershon's reaction? I don't know what the words are, but it wasn't a gag order.
Yeah, what's unbelievable about this, Sandy, is gag orders are supposed to protect criminal defendants. They are a limited time, place, and manner restriction on Americans' First Amendment rights for a limited amount of time during a criminal trial to make sure a criminal defendant gets his constitutional rights to due process and a fair trial. You do not gag criminal defendants. If there's anyone on the planet who must have the constitutional right to speak out against the judge, the prosecutor, their staffs, the witnesses, the process, their biases, it is a criminal defendant. If the criminal defendant is truly obstructing justice by threatening witnesses or the judge, doxing them, having protests outside of their homes like the Democrats did to the Supreme Court justices, you can charge them, you can charge that defendant with obstruction of justice or witness tampering, but to put this illegal prior restraint, unconstitutional prior restraint on his First Amendment rights and his Sixth Amendment rights and his 14th Amendment rights is un-American. This unconstitutional gag order is a sword of Damocles over President Trump's head. He can't even mention the name or even share a news article mentioning the name of Matthew Colangelo or Lauren Mershon or Michael Cohen or Stormy Daniels. Trump can't even say that the Manhattan jury pool voted 87% for Joe Biden. If Trump says any of those five things, this corrupt judge, Mershon, has threatened to put Trump in prison. This is a kangaroo court. This is a show trial. These are republic-ending tactics by these Biden Democrats.
Yes. You know, I was in a briefing last week, Mike, and someone that that you would trust, and I do too, said that the plan is, what he's hearing, is that the plan is from this judge and from the people, the thinkers behind him, that they'd like for him to go to prison. And if that should happen, if Trump should break this gag order and should say something and they can put him in jail or prison slash prison, that the judge will declare that because he's a convicted felon, he doesn't deserve Secret Service protection, remove it and place him in prison. That's what I was told is the plan if that should happen. I don't know if you've heard that, but I just want people to understand how serious this is. This is not antics in the courtroom. Media outlets cover those things all the time, and it's great entertainment, you know, whether it's, you know, some killer or whatever, some sexy story. This is a real life tragedy. This man is the candidate for president for this country. And this country is in an upheaval, and this is what this judge and the people behind him are trying to do. So, Mike, let's talk about Stormy.
Yeah, that's what we've been warning about on your show and many other shows from the Article 3 Project for the last 22 months since Biden's unprecedented raid on Trump for presidential records that Trump is allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act. We have four criminal indictments. We are at week four of this unprecedented trial, and there's no question these Biden Democrats want to put President Trump in prison because they fear American voters on November 5th, 2024. This is deadly serious, as you said.
You know, Greg Kelly has been doing a great job on Newsmax of covering this. He has a unique approach that I really enjoy. He was sort of tracking, he was in the courtroom the day that Stormy, or at least one of the days, I think both of them, that Stormy Daniels testified. And he itemized all the contradictions and the lies. Now look, people listening, and we'll go back to the baseline in just a second, would say, well, I would say, Trump was a billionaire playboy. This was 2006 when this supposedly happened. He says he didn't sleep with her, but even if he did, that's not what this trial is about. And we, no one ever talks, Mike, at least not in the mainstream media, about the baseness of selling, Stormy was going to sell her story to the National Enquirer all about her salacious, you know, affair with Donald Trump. And this happened in 2006. He's running for president, and I'm sure that, you know, the sniffers view this as a way to kill his nomination. And so Stormy Daniels, on her trial, lied about so many things, couldn't remember. She's told the story so many times and contradicted her so much that even Bill Maher is saying, that's not what she told me when I interviewed her. I mean, I think that, you know, for the left, that should be incrimination enough for her as a witness. But your thoughts about her testimony?
Stormy Daniels her testimony was largely irrelevant and highly unfairly prejudicial under Rule 401 and the Rule 401 and 403 analysis under the rules of evidence. I mean, it's not a crime for a businessman to settle a nuisance claim, and no one thinks that we're electing St. Donald of Manhattan when we elect him the president of the United States. People have known about Donald Trump and his past with women for the last 50 years, right? It's not been a secret. So the fact that even if he paid a settlement, even if he paid the settlement to Stormy Daniels to make her nuisance claim go away, it's not a crime. Look, we are in week four of this criminal trial. And Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo and Judge Juan Merchan, these corrupt Democrats, have refused to tell President Trump what the legal allegations are against him. Meaning, Trump does not know what law he broke, and so he does not know how to defend himself in week four of this unprecedented trial.
Let me just read. This is from the Examiner this morning. It says Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg charged Trump with 34 counts of falsifying business records, alleging that Trump hid the reimbursement and that he did so with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime and aid and conceal the commission thereof. So that's how, and I'm sure that what you're speaking about,
but
34 counts.
That's the problem, Sandy. What's the other crime? They're not telling.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not telling them what the other crime is.
Right. And would you say, as an attorney that you described nearly 20 years here, that it's pretty common for men who are wealthy and have a high profile, maybe in media, sports, to have frivolous lawsuits filed against them in order to get money to threatening to tell stories that may or may not be true, and they get paid so that they will be quiet because it's going to hurt family or whatever. Is that pretty common, or is Donald Trump the only man on the planet that has this happen?
This is very common for wealthy people. I've been a lawyer for 20 years. I've done many of these settlements of nuisance claims with non-disclosure agreements, hush money, as you call it. It's the cost of doing business when you're a high-profile, wealthy business person, right? And it happens. It's unseemly, but it's not illegal by any stretch of the imagination. Otherwise, it seems like every businessman in America would be in prison if they used this legal theory against them.
Well, let me reiterate what you said, but in layman's language. The case that's being tried in New York is not about whether Donald Trump had sex with a porn star named Stormy Daniels in 2006. It's not about that, and yet that's what they're parading Stormy Daniels over there so that the people in the jury will be repulsed and will further hate Donald Trump and convict him. The case is about the payment to her, the alleged payment to her, allegedly, so that she would not sell her story to National Enquirer before the 2016 election. One of the things that Michael Cohen said yesterday, Mike, and I wish I could find the direct quote, but he said that it wasn't about Melania or his family. It was about him trying to save his neck in the election. I think Michael has actually contradicted himself, but tell me what you know about what we could know about Trump and his concern about his family over this.
Look, the prosecutors, and this is how we can wrap this up, the prosecutors are trying to allege that Trump only did this because he was running for president. Well, Trump's done this, according to this testimony, several times in the past, including when he was not running for president. So I imagine his goal is to protect his reputation in the world, his image in the world, to protect his business reputation and to protect his reputation with his family. And that happens all the time, and that's not a crime.
All right, Mike, I know you have other commitments, and I appreciate your time every time you join us. Again, founder and president of A3P, that's the Article 3 Project. Is there anything that we need to know that, or ways that people could help you, Mike?
Yeah, article3project.org. You can go there, article3project.org. There is a button on there to take action, and let's get your listeners to take action by going to Andrew Clyde, Congressman Andrew Clyde's appropriations writers. Call, contact both of your home state senators and your U.S. House representative and tell them to defund this Democrat lawfare against President Trump before the election. If they want to put him on trial, they waited 30 months to bring these cases, 7 years in the, with Alvin Bragg's case, they could wait till after the election. In the meantime, the American people, not these Democrat prosecutors and judges and witnesses and operatives in these Democrat hellholes of Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and New York, to decide the election. The American people get it decided. So thank you very much, Sandy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Article3Project.org, and I'm assuming on if you click the button, it'll say, it will repeat what you just said so people will know, again, what to say and what to communicate. Mike Davis, the founder and president of A3P. Mike, thank you. God bless you and keep you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
There's more to the story on Alyssa and Damien, and I want to tell you that as Damien, at the time that they realized they were having twins and decided not to terminate their life, said he was a believer, but he was afraid of becoming a dad. He found an encouraging ally in one of the male volunteers. By the end of their visit, Alyssa and Damien rededicated their lives to Jesus, laying down their burdens and fears at his feet and trusting God with their twin babies. The clinic was able to come alongside this couple, providing resources, referrals, and anything else they need. That's the rest of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why I'm hoping you will support Preborn by going to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and helping couples like Damien and Alyssa and other single moms who don't have that kind of support. It's as simple as that. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. That was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com.
You think it is totally outlandish that Donald Trump would ever have a threesome? I just want to ask you that. Totally outlandish. Would never happen.
It's not relevant at all to this criminal prosecution. And that's the point of Stormy Daniels' testimony. Not only is it not relevant under Rule 401 of the Rules of Evidence, it is unfairly prejudicial under Rule 403. And the fact that this judge has President Trump gagged where he can't respond to Michael Cohen and he can't respond to Stormy Daniels and this bimbo porn star you just had on who made that malicious smear against President Trump, he can't respond to that or he goes to jail. That just proves what a kangaroo court this is. This is Democrat lawfare and election interference. And frankly, the BBC should be ashamed of itself that you just put a bimbo porn star on.
I think we get the message about how you're addressing her.
All right. So that was the BBC and our guest, Mike Davis, with her. You already heard me say earlier what a terrible experience I had with them went into their studios in Washington, D.C. in good faith, expecting to do a decent interview, but it wasn't a decent interview. And in this case, this Scottish lady, who is the presenter, they call them on British television, she's the presenter, asks about if he doesn't believe that Donald Trump would have a threesome, although as though that is the relevant issue in this trial. And Bruce, just one thing I want to ask you. My husband Bruce, former prosecutor in Cook County, former FBI agent, I just want to ask you just this quick question. I know you have a lot of notes you've taken, and I'm so glad. But they're bringing in Stormy Daniels, and they're asking questions of the kind that she just asked Mike to make the jury think he's an actual sexual, he is a sexual pervert. Therefore, he should be convicted on this documents case. How do you think a jury will respond to something like that?
Well, if a jury would do what it's sworn to do, they would see this for what it is. However, I'm afraid in the situation we're in with this case with Donald Trump, being that it's being held in Manhattan, where, as Mike said, 87% of the people voted for Biden, I think what I call the Trump factor may very well become a problem for Donald Trump. And that is that so many people, when it comes to Donald Trump, think that he's evil and that all bets are off, all the gloves are off, when it comes to fighting back against Donald Trump. And I fear what this jury may do is say, we don't care that this is about business records. We don't like Donald Trump. And now we've seen through this salacious testimony, they will probably choose to believe that. And just because they think Donald Trump is, some kind of sexual pervert or whatever, he needs to be convicted for this crime. This crime has nothing to do with Donald Trump's sexual behavior. This has to do with, as Michael said, a payment made to a person to keep them from telling a story. And, you know, the media loves to call a non-disclosure agreement hush money. Non-disclosure agreements are used all the time. They're used in government.
Yes, absolutely.
Ask people that have been in the military that have had access to certain weapon systems and intelligence. Are they required to sign an NDA, we call it, a non-disclosure agreement? Ask Secret Service agents if they have to sign non-disclosure agreements. And they can serve a very, very important function. You don't want a Secret Service agent talking about where the president is going to be, say he's going to make a trip to Afghanistan in a week. You don't want a Secret Service agent talking to people and saying, oh, yeah, next week he's going to be in Afghanistan, because then our enemies can plan to maybe try and shoot down his plane or hurt the president. NDAs in and of themselves are not evil, as they're making it out in this case.
Well, in the case that I'd like to make again is that you have people like E. Jean Carroll. You have all people that are willing, like the one who accused Kavanaugh.
Who talked like a little girl. What was her name at the testimony?
At Kavanaugh's hearing. Yeah, whatever her name was. These people come out of the woodwork to accuse, and you don't even know what's true and what isn't. And that's why people have to be really wise, and jurors certainly do too, but we're not sure we have that. Okay, so what else did you see, honey, with the...
Well, the problem also is... A jury trial, a criminal trial, is supposed to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, to date, we haven't had anything basically presented by any of the prosecution witnesses showing that Donald Trump sanctioned or did any falsifying of business records. He's charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records. When a jury decides who to believe, they're supposed to look at a person's credibility. Credibility is just another word for, are they believable? You look at the two main witnesses that have been trotted out in this case. Stormy Daniels, she is a porn star. That doesn't mean she's a liar. However, it means her character is probably very much subject to scrutiny.
But she did lie. She did lie.
She has told... in and of itself.
Oh, in and of
now,
itself, okay.
Her actions certainly speak to her credibility. She has told multiple
multiple versions of this story. This story is like 18 years old. And even Bill Maher, as you mentioned, Bill Maher had her on her show, and she said, Donald Trump didn't rape me. Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong to me. In fact, she couldn't, she never really even recalled if they had sex. She just said that they spent time together. I mean, she has told so many versions of this. Her description, you know, when you judge a witness's credibility, they get cross-examined. In other words, the defense attorneys get to speak, ask her questions. And when they asked Stormy Daniels questions about what happened allegedly on this night that she spent with Donald Trump, she couldn't recall where they were at, how she got there.
She told three different stories on how she got there.
She said, I think I stopped at a tattoo parlor on my way from my hotel over to Donald Trump's hotel.
But there's
and,
no tattoo parlor.
And there is no tattoo parlor. They're like, the two hotels are 250 feet apart. So, I mean, why make up stories like that if you're telling the truth?
Well, I think a lot of people just lie as habit, and I guess Michael Cohen is one of those, too. Yeah. We've kind of gone light on him, but he's been held in contempt of Congress for lying. In fact, Jim Jordan, another congressman, wrote on behalf of this trial that he should be held accountable for lying to Congress because that's what he did. Yeah. He is a habitual liar, and other people who have done business with him have all said that. Many of them have said that. So.
Michael Cohen is the prototypical disgruntled employee. He thought he was a big high roller when he was working for Trump. In fact, his testimony was that it was like being in a family, and that was the high point of his career. And he also admits that when Donald Trump became president and Michael Cohen was not selected to be his chief of staff or to really to fill any position, that really bothered him. And he said it bothered him because it bothered his ego. Now, we are not sitting here saying that Donald Trump is a saint. I want people to understand that. But that has nothing to do with whether he's guilty of these crimes. If you're going to judge people on their reputation, how would you like to be sitting in that defendant's seat and have one of your neighbors go, oh, yeah, he's a bad guy. He yelled at my kids. He told my kid to get off his lawn. I mean,
and you want to defend yourself and you can't.
And that,
there's a gag order on you.
That is irrelevant. That doesn't matter. No. What matters is, did you do what you're accused of doing?
Yes, and even if he had sex with Stormy Daniel, which, I read a letter that she signed a long, long time ago. This has been going on for so many years that there was no sexual contact. So we don't know what's true. President Trump says it's not true. And I want to also clear one record straight. Michael Cohen said on the stand yesterday, now we're doing this in real time, and you won't hear it when it's this time. But Michael Cohen claims that all President Trump cared about was the election. And I know for a fact that President Trump has been reported by those around him that he was worried sick about Melania and his family. And he actually said, I don't want my family to think of me in that way. And so that was very important to him. It's a lie that that didn't matter and that the election was all he cared about.
Yeah, and obviously that does not make Donald Trump a better guy, but it does rebut, again, this story that they're trying to push from the prosecution that Donald Trump is this cutthroat businessman who will do anything to win this election. You know, I think one of the things we have to also mention before we leave is, again, this potential for Donald Trump to be convicted, which I think is high, because I don't think this jury, from what we've heard about them, is going to care about the facts in this case. They're going to be like, I don't like Donald Trump.
Let me jump in to say why. Don't forget your train of thought. The judge actually issued a questionnaire, had them all potential jurors fill out a questionnaire about what media outlets they used. List them. Where do you get your information? And very personal questions like that. It was very unusual. So we know who's on the jury.
And in that voir dire, they call that voir dire, several of the people that were selected for the jury said, I don't like Donald Trump, but I guess I can put my feelings aside to that. That should have really been automatic disqualification when they're admitting right up front they have a bias against him. But to continue on my point, if Donald Trump is sent to jail, The Democrats are doing everything they can to try to remove Secret Service protection from Donald Trump. Under the law, Donald Trump, no matter where he is, I don't care if it's jail, he is allowed to have secret, he is not allowed, he's allowed and required to have Secret Service protection if he wishes. Now, think about Rikers Island, which is probably where Donald Trump would go to be processed and be held for a while before he was sent to wherever he'd be sent if he's given jail or prison time. You think there's someone in Rikers Island that couldn't get paid off to take a run at Donald Trump to try and kill him?
I think there might be some people there that don't need money to do that. Yeah. You know, they'd like to make a name for themselves, be the one that does it.
Benny Thompson, who ran a disgusting January 6th committee, which was Liz Cheney and all those people that came up with half the story on January 6th.
They hired a producer, a Hollywood producer, to produce the whole thing. They edited all the testimony. It was like a primetime television series.
Yes. He has introduced a bill called the Disgraced Act, and that is an legislation which, if a president or a former president is convicted of a crime, their Secret Service protection will be removed. So don't act like this is speculation about having this Secret Service protection removed. And, you know, we all know what this is about. This whole thing is about dirtying up President Trump as a candidate. It's about keeping him off the campaign trail. It's about running him out of money. Think of the money he's spending on attorneys. It's running him out of time, and it's distracting. As you say, 100,000 people showed up in New Jersey last week for a rally. Joe Biden drew 100 people to a rally. So there has to be a distraction, and the Democrats are using this as their distraction.
It's just wrong. And so I guess the bottom line for all of us is you have to choose. You can give up because it seems overwhelming. We talk about all the obstacles right now, and there are lots of them. So you can give up and do nothing. And then you can remember when you tell your grandchildren, if we all live that long, that you, Mom and Dad, what did you do? What was your part in that battle leading up to that election? What did you do? And you can either be able to tell them that you did something. You did something. You voted. You shared, you like overrode your embarrassment at supporting Donald Trump and, you know, made it public and tried to win others over to vote for him under these circumstances. Or you can say to your kids, well, I didn't think it mattered and I decided not to do anything and I didn't want anybody to not like me. And, you know, we had a busy life and I just thought I would stay out of this one. Don't do that. You know, you will regret that. You will look back on this time and wish that you had done more. And I will, too. Could I confess to you? I would, too. It's hard to know. We know that we have a sovereign God, and I believe he's sovereign with all my heart. But I also know that he works through his people. We are his hands and feet. So please don't give up, and make sure that you vote. Make sure that you get the word out about this stuff. Share this podcast. Certainly AFR Talk is a wonderful resource for other information from other of the hosts. So be sure that you listen and share this stuff with your friends and neighbors and your family members. Well, thank you, honey, for joining me. Thank you.
Thank you, and really pray for Donald Trump. I know he's a very imperfect man, but aren't we all? And what he's going through, any of us could be put through.
Yes. All right, so with all of that, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.